Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 104 for Thursday, August 2nd, 2012. We are back. We took a week off last week because I was just telling the story before the show. I was trying to get into Canada, into Winnipeg, Manitoba, which I'm told is in Canada, way up north. So, no show. And long story short, I made it in. I made it out. I'm home. We had good meetings for the site. Lot of cool stuff to do, and we'll get to that, you know, when we get to it. So not quite ready to tell you all about that first, but we got the podcast back. We got a lot of Android to talk about, and we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site with us.
Hi, Jerry.
Huh?
Wait. I really screwed it up. Hi, everybody. I'm Jerry.
So we actually got some comments last week about, or 2 weeks ago, about how unprofessional that show was. And I don't know about you guys, but I think we've had far more unprofessional shows than that one. That was...
You people don't want to see me act unprofessional. I mean, that's I'm trying, guys.
Yeah.
That's
I've seen unprofessional. We haven't hit that yet. Alex Dobie from England.
Hey, everyone.
Alex is probably the most professional out of all of us.
I'm trying
to do something about that. But
I tried.
Corey Streeter from the Android Central Forums.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
The epitome of unprofessionalism.
But a whole hell of a lot of fun. And if I might say so, quite dapper. And back. Back for, was Mickey here 2 weeks ago? Mickey, were you here 2 weeks ago? I don't remember. Mickey Papillon, the cell phone talk.
No, I probably wasn't, but I'm here for my monthly appearance.
Yes. Awesome. Go to thecellphonejunkie.com. You can find Mickey more often than you find him here, and quite frankly, more professional than you can find him here, because we kind of drag him down to our level. I'm okay with that. I really am. I mean, that's just...
You got to have it sometimes, right?
Yeah. All right, so let's talk some Android, shall we? It's kind of been a busy couple weeks, actually. I'm a little sorry we missed last week, but like I said, I was struggling to get into Canada. Apparently, they got a lot of people trying to go up there or something.
That cheap Viagra.
Oh, yeah, that's why I was there, actually. You found me out.
Everybody just flocks to Canada.
So, what do you guys want to kick off with? Jerry did the script again this week, so we got a lot of good stuff.
Let's see.
What?
Oh, okay, I thought you were going to complain like you did the other week. That's right. We've got good stuff.
No faith whatsoever. All right, so what do you want to start with?
What do I want to start with?
Yeah, you pick.
Let's start with Samsung Mobile Unpacked for the coming up in a month.
Okay.
So that is pretty interesting. We've had an announcement today. Samsung's holding two press events at IFA at the end of the month. We'll be there, me and Richard Devine. We're expecting a few things. Probably we're going to get the Galaxy Note 2 is going to be the big announcement when we're there. We've also got an announcement a couple of weeks before that in the US, which we're thinking is going to be more of a Galaxy Note 10.1 kind of thing. So, I mean, there's a stylus on the invite, heavily hinting at new Galaxy Note devices. So Note 2, we still don't know an awful lot about it, but, it's the obvious place to unveil a successor to the Note. It was announced at IFA last year. So, any wild theories about what we can expect? Because we really don't know an awful lot about this thing.
Galaxy Note 2, Galaxy Tab 10.1, or Galaxy Note 10.1 revisited. Because Samsung, when was the last time Samsung put out a major device, excluding the Galaxy Note, I guess, without putting it out twice? Like, how many of these tablets have they done this way? They show it once and then change it 6 months later.
Yeah, the 8.9 was in limbo for a while,
it's,
I remember.
Bizarre.
As well.
And then they still get sued. Hey, and I just want to say this about that. I'd get into Germany no problem. Nothing.
Yes.
Crickets.
We're not sure where you were going with that.
Oh. And he's bitter about Canada.
I'm really bitter about Canada. You guys don't know. Now I'm going to get more emails. Uncomfortable silence.
You go to Germany to spite them.
Phil hates the dink, and Phil hates Canada.
No.
That's Phil at androidcentral.com.
I didn't even get poutine. All right, no, sorry. Back to IFA. Sorry.
Note 2, the only information we really have came from some leaked benchmark or something. which again is really easy to fake. I'm sure Jerry, you can tell everyone about that.
It doesn't exactly tell you anything anyway.
Well, right. even if it is right, it's
it has a processor.
Resolution. Yeah. Well, it's just a faster processor. Great, whatever.
True.
The other thing, if these benchmarks are correct, is it has a 720p screen, which would make it lower res than the original Note.
Yep.
Which to me suggests maybe something like Super AMOLED Plus in this device.
Hmm. Yep.
Which would be interesting to see. We haven't seen that before with an HD resolution on the phone, so that would be an interesting first to have. Again, we know nothing about this, so it's really just a case of wait and see. We haven't even had any faked renders yet. That's how good the secrecy is surrounding this thing. So wait and see. We'll be there. Say again?
I love the little stylus wand
That was a nice touch, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you, Alex, you used the Galaxy Note 10.1 that we saw back at Mobile World Congress in Spain in February. I mean, it was pretty good, and the stylus was pretty good, and the software they have on it was good.
It was okay. It was the same. I think it was it a Tegra 2 in there? It was old hardware inside, and there were, the pen stuff felt kind of tacked on. There was nowhere to put the pen in the actual tablet. You had to just kind of carry it around with you. We mentioned that to Samsung at the time, and it's probably a good idea that they've taken it back to the drawing board, and we've got a better device now a few months later.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. It's like, for everything you've done, where the hell are you going to put the pen? Like, the main reason to have this
device. Yeah.
Around
here, we use duct tape.
Well, no. No, there was some other phone we had that was like that, too, and I forget what. It was an LG one, maybe?
The View?
Yeah.
The Flyer.
Well, yeah, the Flyer, but there was something newer, too. I forget what. And it's like, you have all this great stuff, and then no place to put the most important part, and I'm going to lose it. Asus made tablets like that, too, right? There were little footy things to go in the Infinity.
The Padfone had that stupid thing that was also a headset.
Yeah. It's like, okay. And I mean, I think we're going to see some interesting stuff. I haven't actually been to IFA. I'm a little jealous that I'm not going because it's, Germany, and I'd like to go see it, and I can get in. But IFA's not, for those of you who don't live and breathe this stuff like we do, I mean, IFA is not a Mobile World Congress. It's not CES. It's not, I'd probably put it maybe above the Spring CES.
Mini Mobile World Congress, isn't it?
Yeah.
MWC Lite.
Yeah, yeah. So, there will be some interesting stuff there. There will be a lot of, lower-end tablets. I mean, not low-end, but stuff that wouldn't necessarily get as much play. You'll see a lot of stuff there.
The two interesting things to me, other than Samsung, I think it's going to be the biggest thing for Android. We've got Sony, we've got Motorola. So Sony, we've got their sort of second half of the year flagship stuff, which actually looks good. Yeah, it's actually running ICS. It's got decent hardware, really nice-looking camera. So that's going to be interesting to see. It's maybe a bit of a return to form for Sony after all these gingerbread devices have been releasing. A new tablet from them as well, which looks fairly impressive too. So you've got the same kind of folded magazine design you had in the Tablet S, sort of taken forward. You have Tegra 3, new metal chassis, so that looks interesting. Motorola as well have been very, very quiet in Europe. So I think we're going to see some stuff from them. Maybe we've had leaks this week of the Razer HD, I think it was.
Yeah, I'm not. So that'd be kind of brief. I'm not sure that's going to be one of the Intel ones, though, right? I think the timing.
Maybe not.
The timing's not quite there, but we are getting into the part of the year where they, they said come fall we're going to have these Motorola Intel devices testing. So we're starting to get there.
Yeah, maybe. I just think it's a long time since we've heard anything from Motorola, aside from the AT&T stuff they had, and especially in Europe, where they've had nothing since the Razer Max. Mm-hmm.
So they're due.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. I want to talk about the Nexus Q for a minute, because it's been kind of a long, weird week.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so... I mean, I had hesitated on, all right, so when last we podcasted, and this is something else I got yelled at for doing news in the middle of it. Breaking news. Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, we discovered that they'd put this limit on the Nexus Q, and you couldn't order anymore, right? I'd already ordered one. I don't know. I wish I'd ordered more than one, because they put this limit on it. You couldn't order anymore. So yesterday, day before, this week, Google sent out an email saying, hey, so about that Nexus Q. We're not going to really sell them yet, But if you pre-ordered them, cool, we're still going to ship them to you, and we're not going to charge you. Here's a $300 sphere that does three things and does three things very well, but we're going to make it do more before we actually sell it to a lot of people. So enjoy it, cool, and we'll get back to you later. That's awesome and disappointing at the same time. I like this thing. Jerry, how are you getting along with yours?
Oh, well, I love mine because what I want from it is what it does.
Right.
But I do understand everybody says it doesn't do enough for $300.
Sure, yeah. And I get that.
Would you be saying that?
I can understand that.
Yeah.
But it happens to do the things I want it to do. So for me, it's great.
And it was free, so.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Mean, yeah, yeah. We have the preview ones for Google.
But, you know, I would pay $300 for that because of what it does with Google Music. To right. me, that's worth $300. But I can certainly see why it wouldn't be to other people.
Yeah. Can I just ask a question, Jerry? What is it that it's doing special through Google Music that you couldn't get from just a Bluetooth dongle? Like, even the BlackBerry Music Gateway.
I can shut my phone off. It streams from the cloud itself. No involvement to a phone or tablet. I can sit down and program a little playlist and put my phone in my pocket, walk away.
It's one fewer connection. That's always been my problem with Bluetooth and... I mean, this initiates it, but it's not dependent on it, right?
Right.
That's a big deal.
Right, and that's all it does special.
And it looks damn good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Works very well. Not 100%.
You know, my first thought when I saw that was, wow, what a great company. They're really doing something right. My second thought was, they must not have sold any.
Well, yeah, look at the poll we ran was like 3% maybe. I think we might have had like 150 people who said they pre-ordered it. And I get it. $300 is a lot of money. We've said that all along. But I think it's a really nice piece of hardware. I kept seeing all these posts saying, you know, and as soon as Google effectively delayed this thing or maybe canceled it, and we'll get into that in a second, all these posts, how would you fix it? Well, you're asking people who've never touched it. And
ding, ding, ding.
There's a lot to be said for, I mean, this thing is a cool, kitschy device. It's $300. It is a lot of money for something that doesn't do as much as you'd think or expect, maybe. But hardware-wise, it's damn cool. So I hesitate asking people that question, considering the vast majority haven't touched it or used it. And the lights on the thing are just, they're neat. I'm totally nerding out over this thing.
You're probably going to have it for a really long time, right? Several years, mm-hmm. if you break it out, a few bucks a month.
I use it every day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, my wife's using ours right now in the other room. Mm-hmm. We never shut it off. But my music lover.
It's cool. It's like a little black disco ball on my entertainment center.
And I think it's nice to not have just another piece of plastic playing around.
It's not just another piece of plastic. It's a big ball. It's a sphere. You know what I wanted to do that it doesn't? Here's the one thing I wanted to do right now. I wanted to control the overall volume of my receiver. So like, mm-hmm. I can just, because the top hemisphere rotates, right? I want to just be able to walk by and turn it down when my daughters have the TV up way too loud. Even if they're not listening
to music. I want to be able to ask it questions and look underneath for the little triangle that tells me to ask again later.
Magic giant eight ball. Did you see the cartoon I put up on Google+? If you don't watch Futurama, you're not going to know what the hell we're talking about. But it looks like
it looks like
Nibbler pooping out dark matter.
Yep.
I figured it out. That's awesome. Oh, who's bringing up the holy hand grenade in the chat room? That's awesome. Yeah, so do you guys think, is the project dead? Are they actually going to sell anymore? Are they going to redo the hardware?
You know what?
No. It's alive.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if the Nexus Q was Google's GTV unit? Say, hey, you can buy a Sony, you can buy a Vizio. We love them. They're great partners. Here's ours. Mm-hmm.
But they haven't done that, and they've got three competing things now. They've got the Q, they've got Google TV, and they've got this Google Fiber thing, which is still kind of only in one city. But They're very much competing with themselves in the living still. Either all these three things need to be rolled into one, or they need to decide which one's going to go forward, and they haven't done that yet.
And they need to market it properly too. I don't think they've done a very good job of articulating what it does.
Yeah.
And Google never really, they never really take to the TV and do much advertising either. And
I don't think the Nexus Q is the sort of product that you market, to be honest. I think it's the sort of thing that a few people buy, maybe a bit more money than sense, and it sits there and it's a piece of furniture, basically.
Well, to me, I instantly compare it to a Sonos, not because they do the same thing, but because they're about the same price. They're regarded as very well built, and they're pretty upscale. Some people will go to Walmart and buy some Emerson desktop bookshelf stereo system for $100. Some people will buy a Sonos for $400. Some people are going to want to buy the Nexus Q. It depends on what you want sitting around in your living room. Mm-hmm. But if you make it actually do a bunch of cool shit, a bunch of more people are going to want to buy it.
Well, and if you're not going to market it, why put the product together in the first place?
Because it's cool.
You want to draw a sort of parallel with Apple TV. It's at the sort of hobby stage now, isn't it? That they're doing stuff because it's cool and to see what they can bring out in it. So that's where they are. It's not mainstream, and I think it's not necessarily a terrible idea to take it back to the drawing board a bit, given the reaction that has been had to it.
I don't know how you put out a product like that, though. How do you put out something like it's ready to go? They just needed to make more at that point from what it sounded. But then, somebody somewhere decides, well, you know what, maybe not. And I saw a couple of people trying to compare this to the Kin. We're not at that level, I don't think.
No.
not in terms of marketing, not in terms of production. This thing wasn't being sold through carriers, which is just a whole hell of a lot more hassle than selling it on Google's website. So, I mean, it's cute to try to say, oh, yeah, look, here's something else that's dead like the Kin. Not even in that neighborhood.
We're getting a little ahead of ourselves because it really was never for sale at all.
Right. Yeah. It really.
It's.
You could go to the Verizon store and buy the Kin for like 2 days, a little longer than that. Not a lot. Yeah.
Oh, the Kin.
Yeah. Yeah. The Microsoft Kin, which was available for like 2 weeks, and that's
I don't know.
We know people who were involved in the Kin project, and that's still a kind of a sore point and had potential. I don't think the Q is going to die that sort of flaming, fiery, flying off the cliff death. But I worry that it's maybe a little ahead of it. You know, other people compared it to the Folio. I don't think it's anywhere near that category as well. The Folio was the Palm Folio, and if you guys are really new to the ecosystem here and don't know what the Palm Folio was, that was essentially the Asus Transformer way before its time. Did you plug your phone into it, or was it over Bluetooth? Damn, now I can't even remember. Mickey, help me out here.
No, it wasn't a physical connection.
No.
It was wireless.
Right. So, and the Folio never got out the door either. So, I don't think it's going to go that far. I hope they don't kill it. I really do. I like this thing a lot. It has.
Well, this isn't some company that's operating out of a garage either. I mean, they have deep pockets, lots of employees. Yep. I just can't believe that they would just sit around and make products for a small group of nerds all day long.
The question is, how are they going to expand it? Are they going to give it its own interface? Are they going to expand what you can do through the app on a phone or tablet?
Right.
Because you can't, you're going to have to choose one or the other. If you want to do more stuff, it either has to do more through a remote control or do more by itself through some kind of interface on a TV.
Yeah.
Each of those has its own sort of risks, I think.
Here's where it's nailed it for me, and we haven't gotten around to doing a review, and damn it, I'm not sure if we're going to now. but where it really nailed it for me was...
The review is the thing you can't buy.
Right. Is in the music playback, and this is something nobody else has gotten right anywhere. Even, doing Google Music on Google TV doesn't do this. You need some sort of screensaver, so you're not burning stuff into your TV. I've got a plasma. And things will not serious burn in, but I forget what Jerry. What's the kind of intermediate step called there. But
the ghosting effect.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll get ghosting and not burn-in. But I worry about that, right? And that's something you need to be concerned about. And generally, the interfaces just suck, right? Before we had Google TV, I was streaming music over the Xbox. And that interface sucked. It's always sucked. It's always horrible. You know, the queue is not perfect. I would still love some sort of slightly better screensaver. It still looks like the weird lightning and designs from, you know, Microsoft's had for 5,000 years. But, you know, I mean, they at least got it that you have to have an interface to play the music and then get it the hell out of the way because you don't want it burning into your TV. And that's awesome. I'm glad they did that.
You know, for me, the only thing that I would need to see to come to the queue to make it perfect would be an interface that doesn't require me to use my phone.
Right.
Just on the off chance that my phone's on my dresser or something and I want to grab a wireless keyboard that I've got at my entertainment center for everything else anyway and just move something over and click.
But you've got to have something to tie in
right.
with, though.
Yeah.
So
You need a Sonos with the Android application on your phone.
Right.
Problem solved. They should just buy that company. That device is awesome.
They really should. And the software is good. My dad loves his.
Oh, it's like my favorite electronic ever. And it's so easy to set up. My mom could do it. And that's saying a lot. Buy him, Google. Put it on your black orb.
All right. So that's the Nexus Q, I guess. Poor guy. Don't die. Mm. Please don't die. What's next? Somebody else pick something off the list. What do we want?
Ice cream sandwich for everybody.
For the Resound and the Evo design and some other stuff as well.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. No. You got to get a little more excited than that. It's finally on the Resound. You have... Look.
Yay.
I totally understand the fact that we use these phones for a few weeks, maybe a couple months, and then we have to go on to the next one. So we are the bad, you know, example here, but a lot of people out there have Resounds. You know, just look in the forums today. Everybody's going nuts and they're waiting and they've been waiting so patient. No, not really waiting patiently, but they were waiting a long time and they finally have ice cream sandwich. Finally. And so if you haven't seen it, go in the forums and see what everybody's saying. Thunderbolt people are still kind of like,
You know what? I'm going to go on record and say Thunderbolt never gets it.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you're right. Sorry.
Forget it.
It's just the way it's going
to be. Yeah, it goes back to the same reasons as it's dead on the Desire HD.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same phone, basically.
Sorry, but
it sucks that they announce it and then realize they can't do it, but...
Yes.
They give good reason for it and... It's something that you couldn't have necessarily foreseen, so it's understandable.
Right.
The people that are probably the Android geeks, and they're going to be able to root their phone and put it on there anyway.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Corey. Thank you. That's it in a nutshell. If you have to have it, you can have it.
Yeah.
And probably rooting your phone and flashing a ROM through, you know, clockwork recovery is easier than trying to build an RUU or run an RUU that has to repetition your entire internal storage.
And
so,
frankly, it's probably a little safer. Yeah. I mean, for that reason.
Yep.
Yeah.
What about, so the CyanogenMod team came out and talked about the Snapdragon S1 devices, and those are...
Same reason.
Yeah. I mean, that's going back to what? The Nexus much. 1? All the way back there?
All the way back to the Droid Eris, I think. And yeah, I'm sure there were a few that were actually older than that. So going way back more than 2.5 years ago.
That's a very
and their main point was the same as HTC's that the internal storage, even if big enough, which on the Nexus One it's not, on the Evo it may be, but it's partitioned absolutely wrong and it just won't work the way they like to do it.
So, if you haven't read about this, so and if you don't understand how the phones work. These phones are basically like little hard drives, right? And you have different sections on the hard drive that can do different things. So you can have your personal data, which would be, you know, slash data, right? So your contacts, you know, stuff within the apps that goes into data. There's stuff that's in system. There's stuff, what else, Jerry? Cache. I don't need
cache. That's the big one here, right. Is cache.
So if there's not enough room in one of the partitions to properly do these updates, that's when they're screwed. Now, and I was asking Jerry about this when this came out. So how much of this goes back to the way that they have reworked things with the Galaxy Nexus? So the Galaxy Nexus, like, it's one big giant partition and everything can share from it, right?
Right. I'm not going to say it's one big giant partition on the Galaxy Nexus. I don't know that I've ever even looked at the partition table, but it won't need the blocks completely erased and reformatted with a different file system like the Nexus One does. Too. I put Ice Cream Sandwich on my Nexus One. It's entirely possible.
How's that working, by the way?
It's okay.
Yeah.
That's about it. It's okay.
Okay.
There's not quite enough and the GPU to push all the little effects. But the biggest part of putting Ice Cream Sandwich on the Nexus One is the point where you hit that enter key and you know it's a 50-50 shot that it's just going to break and your phone will never work again.
Hmm.
That memory wasn't designed to be completely wiped and repartitioned and reformatted.
Okay,
and so that's what you have to
do. So here's the question I asked Jerry after all that. And because the HTC One devices, the One X, the One S, and the One V, because they're not using this new, or are they using this new file system that the Galaxy Nexus is, are they going to have this sort of problem when it comes time to upgrade, or for maybe the next upgrade down the road?
Probably not the next one. The cache partition issue is because the cache is just so damn small on the first. Remember when Google first started calling them super phones, that era,
right?
Desire, Nexus One. Hmm. The cache partition is just so small. There are even apps in the market that they can't download and install because the cache partition isn't big enough to unpack it.
Hmm.
The cache partition on the One X and the Galaxy S3 is not partitioned the same way that the Galaxy Nexus is. But they're both plenty big enough. The phone's going to be old, and you're not going to want to run a version of Android that won't fit on that cache partition, is my guess.
They could pull this off, though, if it wasn't an over-the-air update and they did something where they pushed it to the, you know, you did it on your computer and backup, well, you know, they had some sort of backup utility built into it.
Kind of. You still have the issue with the actual size of the system partition, which is the other issue.
Right, Rogers in Canada. I'm pretty sure it was Rogers, and I know somebody in the chat will correct me. They tried that on the Captivate. Corey, if you would pull your old Fascinate out and reactivate it and just start downloading willy-nilly from the market, you'd find apps that can't install. And they'll work just fine if you would hack your phone, but they can't install because there's not enough cache to open it up. So Rogers tried to fix that. They sent out an update through Keys that wiped and repartitioned things, and they, you know, I don't think anybody knows any real numbers, but it sounds like about half the people that tried it bricked their phones, bricked as in throw it away, right. You need a new one. Hmm. Not have to load up Odin or anything. I mean, brick, the hardware is dead. So I don't see any OEM wanting to try that.
Hmm. The other side of that argument is the situation with the Optimus 2X that came out this week, where that is now not getting updated to ICS either.
Right.
And that, I think, is just a case of resources rather than the actual hardware not being able to support it.
And that was a decent phone.
It is a decent phone. I mean, if the Nexus S can run Jelly Bean, then the 2X sure as hell can.
Mm. Oh, certainly.
We have form developers that will take care of you.
Yeah. And it's a Tegra 3, Tegra 2 rather, so you're in good hands.
That phone is easy to hack, or not easy to hack, but they, you know, they open it up and make it so you can do it. So it's pretty popular in the hacking community.
But again, it's another phone that was announced as getting ICS, and they weaseled the way out of it this week. So that is never a good.
LG, I love your hardware, but please continue to investigate the software engineering side.
I've been playing with this Optimus View, and as weird a device as it is, you can't really fault the hardware design. Even on such a weird, wonky device like the View, it's still really top-notch.
Mickey, you're not a huge Android nerd like the rest of us, so you're not going to have 5,000 devices. Is this making you hesitant toward getting another one? And actually, let's back up. Have you sold your Nexus or your Galaxy Nexus yet?
Why do you have to put me call me out like that?
I haven't talked to you in a few weeks. I have no idea if you still have it.
Yeah, I did actually. It just because it was the Verizon version, and it wasn't obviously I couldn't. I mean, I did use it a little bit with the Verizon LTE SIM that I had, but my intention when selling it was to take it and reinvest those funds in a GSM version. I have not done that yet, though, right. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But I don't know. I'm not sure what I think about this.
What about the Nexus 7? Any desire?
Yeah, a little bit when everyone was going crazy about it on Twitter, but that kind of little, you know, blip in the kind of the scope of things has kind of fallen off. And
much more invested in the iOS ecosystem, though. And yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that over the past week. People are talking about whether to develop for Android or iOS, or I know people who would be perfectly happy with iPhones but are using Android, and part of the reason is they've bought all these apps, right? I mean, I would have a really hard time switching or convincing my wife to switch at this point because she's spent so much money on apps, and I've spent God knows how much money on apps. And this isn't a new argument. I mean, since the beginning of the App Store, right, people would have a hard time leaving because they bought so much stuff. And I think, is that going to keep you kind of leaning toward the Apple route more than Android just because of everything you've bought previously?
You know, maybe
more so
little
than the hardware?
I don't know. And it's I haven't seen anything that I've really been just blown away with. I mean, the device that's really impressed me the most, I think, has been the One X. And as many times as I pick up Samsung hardware, it doesn't impress me. And so when I look at some of the other things that are out there, like the One X, I think, okay, yeah, maybe that's interesting. I'm pretty much have given up on AT&T, though. I'm going to be done with them in a few months. So I'm thinking that's actually what's kind of causing me a little bit of hesitation right now. I was trying to figure out when to make the jump over to Verizon and LTE. I mean, I'm using LTE right now. With the iPad and also a dongle, like a wireless dongle for a laptop. But when I look at what is out there hardware wise, it's hard for me to that's the big decision. I don't have that many applications that are going to make it that hard that I've paid for. Most of the stuff that I use is actually free stuff, whether it's a feed reader or Twitter or stuff like that. Most of it's free, so. Sure, I've spent a little bit of money, but it's not like I'd be giving up on the ecosystem altogether because I still have the tablet. And I don't know what it is that's holding me. Maybe it's just that I don't have to think about it. When I've got an Android phone in my hands, I'm always tinkering with it. I'm always doing different things. I'm moving widgets, moving apps from different screens to different things, and I never feel settled with it. For me, it's not that. It's not the apps.
It's better that you have a phone that doesn't let you do that.
Well, let's do it. Oh, you mean with the widgets? Yeah, no widgets. You know what the other part of it is the, I think it's the enterprise side of it, because I'm starting to use the iOS stuff more for the enterprise. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I gotta tell you, I think iOS is better for the enterprise. It's a simpler setup, and it seems to work smoother, because I've done it on both the Nexus and iOS, and it just seems to work better on iOS.
Are you talking about exchange, like?
Yeah, like way? Exchange functionality. Well, exchange functionality. Plus, we also have. I mean, we've got some. The company I work for has got some enterprise solutions that it's kind of the, where it's like the switching away from BlackBerry. By the way, I'm almost done with BlackBerry. I mean, I would say by the end of the year, it's going to be out of my life. Which, good riddance at this point. But then I got to figure out what's going to be my secondary device. I can't ever see myself just carrying one phone. It just doesn't seem right.
BlackBerry's almost done with BlackBerry.
You say enterprise, and then the next breath you say getting rid of BlackBerry. You need some help.
No.
You need some help.
Here's the deal, though.
You're,
Dude. With the bring your own device movement is strong. I mean, it's out there. And yeah. And you know, even my organization, which does issue both iPhones and BlackBerries, has started to support Android more. And so it's got me thinking more about it. And I have tied in my exchange account into Android devices that I've got recently. And it's not bad. It's much better on ICS than it was back in the gingerbread days. So I got to give it that. And of course, you know, Jelly Bean's the same, but for what it is, it's a very simple integration with iOS. And it's a phone I don't have to think about. And I don't know. I run from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. And when I have to, you know, think about different things and deal with different things, it doesn't really work. And that's why the simplicity of the BlackBerry's always worked for me. And that's where iOS kind of falls in it as well. Because if I have to do something else besides just, you know, whatever it is, take a picture and send a picture, respond to an email or whatever like that, if I have to do more than just that, it's going to be too much for me on the device. So that's, you know, it's a use case scenario. And I love playing with Android devices and I love the Nexus lines. And there'll be another one, I'm sure. My wife just rolled her eyes every time I buy because I've blown off.
She's not the
only one. Exactly.
It'll happen. Anything else? We got a bunch of voicemails we can do. We could do some emails. Just kind of looking around. I tell you, that Razer HD is still not doing a whole hell of a lot for me.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Next month, the Razer HD Max is going to leak. Don't buy one.
Well, and the clue's in the name, isn't it? The Razer HD is the Razer with an HD screen. What else you got? That's, you know, it's the same phone we had since end of last year. There's nothing really new.
Didn't they do this with the original like flip phone Razer too? Is this more of the same?
Yeah.
Stop
I don't
it.
Know. I've got to wonder if Motorola doesn't have some sort of crazy master plan up its sleeve.
Sure, yeah.
Or sure. Or if not that, then CTIA, surely.
Yeah.
I hope so. They have the ability to put out really, really cool products, and they just keep kind of regurgitating the same thing over and over again. They need to just do something really awesome and different.
And they still suck at updates as well, especially in Europe.
Anybody use any good apps lately?
Show my phone.
I finally tried Currents.
What the latest.
You finally tried Currents?
I know. It's taken me forever.
It's been out for a year. Oh, my God. We only have like 500,000.
I've been using Pulse for a long time, so it was kind of hard to get me to.
No, Pulse is good.
Yeah. Android Central is at the very top of Pulse when you open it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're kind of a big deal, Corey.
Yeah, I know we are. I just was pretty pleased when I saw that.
I mean,
500 pics. Okay, this app is like my favorite.
Oh, 500 pics? Yeah.
Is it? How is it pronounced? It says 500. Is it like pixels?
Yeah, it's pixels.
500 pixels. It's amazing. I just had so much fun with this app.
If you've never seen it, it's like just badass photography, basically.
Yeah. And you just kind of flick through and the video is delayed like a minute and a half, but you just kind of flick through and you can, you know, if you have a phone that can take screenshots, you just take a screenshot, make it your wallpaper. is that kosher
or
to say?
Don't. I mean, we don't want to tell people to, you know, take copyrighted material like that, but you certainly could.
Well, I mean, come on, dude.
I know, Corey, you would never do that.
Jeez. No, it's a really good app.
Get on the web and do the same thing. You right-click it, save it.
I know, Corey, I'm just giving you a hard time because I love you.
Everybody's been asking Carbon for Android. It's still coming, so the dev just got a little behind. Patience, everybody. I think it's going to be worth it. And I think it's going to be far different than what I've been using for the past 2 months, which I've strangely been plenty happy with. You know, it's still coming, so patience. Man, yeah,
one of the more interesting apps recently that's come out for Android is the BMW remote app, and I know Simon covered that this week, and that's awesome that's finally on Android now.
Yeah. I'll tell you, all you update junkies, I have an app for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Firefox Nightlies.
Firefox Nightlies?
If you download the Firefox Nightlies direct from the FTP, and you can even put an FTP client on your freaking phone and download them right from the phone, you have a new build every stinking day. And a lot of times they're really different, and I'm kind of liking Firefox, so I want to throw that out there.
I'm trying to think what I've been using. You know what I've been doing for the past 2 weeks? It's watching The West Wing on the Kindle Fire. Because you can now, you know, they got The West Wing and more video. Not Kindle Fire. Amazon needs to open the hell up.
Yep.
To other tablets. They just got it, so it's you can now get video on the iPad. Not everything. So, like, I'm watching The West Wing, and I pull it up on the iPad, and it doesn't have all the apps. So it's kind of like, well, thanks for nothing. But I guess that's a good sign that it'll eventually come to Android, maybe.
You got to hope so. I mean,
I mean, I say come to Android. It's running on the Kindle Fire, which is Android, but you know what I mean. It'll come to other tablets. And same thing for HBO Go. Damn it, not working on the Nexus 7.
You know, that's an interesting thing. I just recently got access to HBO Go. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Cancel Netflix. You're done. That's all you need.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I don't even use Netflix anymore. HBO Go on the devices that'll work. And between that and the Xfinity app, I pretty much can stream anything I'm interested in.
It's I don't know. I love HBO, and with the amount of content that they have, it's just unbelievable. I don't know. That's all I need. That's it.
Installing now.
well, but the catch is you have to have HBO on your cable or
right.
satellite.
That's the killer.
Yeah.
That would be a problem.
Yes.
you have to be able to log in as a registered subscriber that uses HBO. I'll put it that way.
Put it that way.
Right. Or email if you don't have HBO.
Can you run more than one instance at a time?
Yes, you can.
I've got about 30 of them going on.
Absolutely,
on the table.
You can.
Well, in that case.
Jerry. When do you guys have time to watch movies? You guys always are like working 24/7.
Yeah, kind
of. I watch movies in bed every night. I'm an insomniac.
I do the same.
You're up with me until like 3 a.m. every morning.
And apparently he's not paying attention to you at all. All right. Well, let's start wrapping it up and maybe get to some voicemails here in a second. God, I'm trying to think. Anything else? It's been 2 weeks. Speak now or forever.
T-shirts. We got some t-shirts.
T-shirts, yes.
The t-shirts. Yeah.
The Lloyd t-shirts.
And
yes.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I got excited.
What?
Talk about the t-shirts.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about this Verizon thing, too.
All right, yeah, we'll talk about that. Actually, we got two more things to talk about. Yeah, so Lloyd t-shirts in the store, go buy them. They're awesome. You get a free Lloyd pin with them as well.
It's the best Lloyd t-shirt video in the world.
Yes, go watch the video. All right, so Verizon and the FCC. Jerry, what the hell's going on?
Okay, Verizon had to follow a set of special rules to be able to win the auction for the spectrum they're using for LTE.
Right.
There's a bunch of rules. One of the rules is that they can't block devices or applications from using that spectrum. So they were hauled in front of the FCC.
So what did Verizon do? They blocked apps from using it.
Yes. Of course, they blocked all the tethering apps on the market.
Right.
The FCC decided that Google has to allow access to those applications. I'm seeing a lot of stuff on the internet that says Google now has to, Verizon now has to allow free tethering. And I didn't see that anywhere from the FCC.
Right.
So I just want to make sure everybody knows that just because you can go and you can download the app, if Verizon can figure out you're using it, they can still charge you.
And the other side of that coin is these new plans, these new shared data plans that they're pushing everybody toward on Verizon, all include tethering.
That's right.
So it's in the
price. Yeah, they knew this was coming.
Yeah.
They're going to make up for it in some way or another. What confuses me is that app never did go away. Not that I use it very much, but it's Boxify has been available as far back as I can remember.
I don't know. I mean, supposedly everything was blocked from the Google Play Store by Verizon.
I don't know.
But now they're not allowed to block it. And I just want to make sure everybody knows that doesn't necessarily mean that if you're still on your old unlimited plan, that you get to do it for free.
Right.
So because the FCC did not say that. Maybe that's true. I don't know. I just want everybody to think about it. I hate getting emails saying, oh, my God, Verizon charged me 10 extra dollars per gigabyte. And I went 60 gigabytes over. What the hell am I going to do? I hate seeing those kind of emails. So I just want to heads up there.
The one nice thing is there's nothing in an internet packet that identifies the application. Hmm. Or there doesn't have to be. You're just making... It'd be hard for them to figure out that you're actually using that Taxerson network. Unless you're doing like lots of tethering.
I'd say they have ways. Some UK carriers have ways of working out if you're using tethering as opposed to just normal device data.
Yeah, somebody from it was AT&T told me once that all they have to do is bring it up on the computer, and even the developers who claim their app is stealth, they can instantly tell if they want. So I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea. I don't want to see anybody get charged.
Right. Jerry, the other thing you wanted to talk about this week was the new design guidelines, or the new app guidelines that Google is starting to implement.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's right. I am all for freedom. Anybody who knows me, Phil will vouch for this. I am as liberal and as hippie and free as anybody is ever going to get. If you want to write Nazi hate nudity applications, I don't care. Write them. If you want to install them, install them. But Google Play is Google's house. They are finally stepping in, and here are some guidelines for the applications you're going to put in our market. And I think that's a great thing. This first round, they updated their policies. The big focus was on what they're calling spam. If you write an application and you use this ad network, your ad network has to follow the same guidelines as your app. No more big full page ads that pop up in the middle of your game while you're playing it, or that kind of crap. They didn't say anything about AirPush. AirPush, we hate it, but it's a legitimate ad delivery method. It sucks, but in Jelly Bean, at least Google made a way to block all that stuff. But it's Google taking a little bit of charge, trying to clean up things. Another big one is no more fake Temple Run games. We're seeing that now with what's the iOS game that just got Infinity Blade. Yeah, you download it and it's just a way to snatch up your email address and your user metrics and show you a bunch of ads, and it doesn't do anything for you. But it's called Infinity Blade to get people to download it. That kind of crap's going to go. And that's what we need. I want to be able to download any app I want and sideload it. But I also want my wife, my mother, and my daughter to just be able to go to Google Play and not have to worry about bullcrap. I mean, I want them to have a better experience. So I'm all for it.
And that's going to get, I think, tighter as time goes on.
I hope so.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to see applications have to be approved individually. But I do want to see a little bit of, control on what's in our market.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's do a couple voicemails. I think we'll get out of here. We're not even going to get to emails this week, and that's okay. Because we got some really good voicemails, and actually they're a little long, but they're good, so I want everybody to hang in there.
Do we have 1 second to talk about Google Wallet?
Yes.
I thought that was...
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yes. Do it.
Where you can... Oh, you can now add any credit card to Google Wallet or debit card.
Sort of.
Through Google's... Yes, it's Google's virtual MasterCard ingenious behind-the-scenes payment system thing that... I am going to definitely test this weekend. I've got an old account that it's still open, and I've just never taken the $6 out of it, and the debit card's still good. I'm going to add it to Google Wallet and try to buy something for $50 and see how the authentication works and see how I get my hand slapped.
So the way it works now, and I read a post today that was kind of getting confused about Google Wallet. So there are kind of two sides to Google Wallet. One is the thing that's on your phone that you use to pay for something through NFC, right? So you tap the thing and it pays.
Right.
The other thing is what used to be called Google Checkout. So if you buy something through Google Play now, that used to be called Google Checkout. If you buy a Galaxy Nexus, the way you pay for it says Google Wallet. It used to be Google Checkout. So they're kind of two sides. Apparently, I think it's Amex is a little unhappy with this because they didn't quite know that perhaps they were getting involved with this. But the way you read I think it was an All Things D story, but the way it was written, it gets a little muddy because it's not like you couldn't use an Amex in Google Wallet on the retail side, right? Because I've been using one for a long time. Works fine.
Right.
So there are two sides to that. But yeah, so when you put in an Amex or a Visa card or whatever now, it actually creates, or anything other than a MasterCard, it creates this virtual MasterCard that actually pays for things, and then it takes the money out of your Visa account.
It's a lot like PayPal.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to show up on your account, on your Amex, as a Google Wallet charge.
Right.
Which, one thing to keep in mind is you may not, if you're one of those people as, you get points or cash back or whatever, you may not get that because it may not be categorized properly.
And they can probably fix that. But did we ever find out about the Verizon Galaxy Nexus? Because there are still technically only, I think, 7 devices that can use this.
The Verizon Galaxy Nexus, after, and Corey, you don't have to flash back and make a new Google account. I got somebody else to do it for me. If you hacked Google Wallet onto your Verizon Nexus before and you go direct link in the market, it'll allow you to install or update. If you sign up with a new account that's never had Google Wallet, you can't install it on a Verizon device without hackery.
Interesting.
Which is the one thing they don't support, right? On their page, it says, we don't support rooted phones, which makes sense. And it's good that they don't.
Well, I mean, it works on rooted phones. It scares the hell out of me. I don't like to use it because my phone is rooted. But it's just something with Verizon. They say they're not blocking it, yet they're blocking it. I don't know. They need to work together, have a little bit of peace and love between Google and Verizon.
All right. That's that. Let's do a couple voicemails, shall we? And I'm talking slowly, giving Renee time to catch up. Oh, I hear it. He's ready. He's ready. I heard the little macro pop. All right, so let's start with Aaron, shall we?
Hi, guys. This is Aaron from Harrisburg, PA, and I have two questions for you today. First, I'm a longtime user of TweetDeck on the various Android phones that I've used and my desktop PC. But ever since TweetDeck was purchased by Twitter last year, the Android app has seen no updates. The main reason I like it on my phone, the most important reason, is that it combines both my Twitter and Facebook feeds into one combined stream. So I don't have to keep switching back and forth between different screens or different tabs to get the different updates. I know that an app called TweetDeck has tried to continue that feed style. But I'm looking for a combined app that's a little more robust, a little more updated. One that doesn't include something like Google Buzz, something that includes maybe tweet marker support to sync what I've read between my Android phone or my iPad. Just really that combined stream is what's really important. And I just want to know, is there any other app out there that combines streams like that? Renee, if you're listening, do you know of any combined or side-by-side app for the iPad that supports tweet marker as well as showing both Twitter and Facebook on there at the same time? One that doesn't require to leave one feed to see the other. So that's the first question. The second one is, could you guys please tell us how to keep my Google contact photos from degrading into a blurry mess after my phone syncs with my Google account? I've tried backing up the contacts on my desktop, deleting them all from my Google account, and then restoring them and putting new photos on. I've tried assigning new photos from my phone, but no matter what I do, after an hour or two or a day or two, the photos that I've put for the contacts have, gotten all compressed and blurry, and they don't seem to have any way of staying the crisp photos I uploaded to start. So if you have any advice about that, that would be great too. Hope I didn't take up too much of your time, and thanks. Hope you guys can help.
That second one is an extremely annoying problem.
Oh, yeah.
I know a little bit about the second one, but absolutely nothing about...
All right, start with contact photos.
Okay, because they get placed in such low resolution and blown up, they look like crap. Some code is in Jelly Bean to address that. The future versions of Android that definitely will be addressed, according to somebody who works on that sort of thing for a living.
Yes.
Don't know if the future means the very next version or not, but that is a high priority fix. They want the People app to look good. So I expect to see that in a future update, probably not, years away.
And there's a big thread about it on Google's support site. On code.google.com, I think it is.
So, Matthias is there. Matthias designed a beautiful People app. You know he's not going to let those contact pictures look so crappy for too much longer. He's probably got a whip in a chair just beating people to get it done.
As far as the Twitter thing, that's a tall order. There's a lot of stuff you want to do. I haven't found anything that does multiple accounts into a single stream quite as well as TweetDeck and TweakDeck, which is Paul O'Brien's kind of customized version of TweetDeck. Not in a single stream, and not anything that marks what you've already read. I have a hard time picturing people using Twitter in that respect, where it's like email, where tweets are read or not read, because especially, and I understand I'm a bad example, but you have stream after stream after stream, it's waterfall all day and all night. So I absolutely miss stuff. That's tough. We talked about Carbon a minute ago. That's going to be a really good client. The other one I would recommend checking out would be Seismic. And they've changed a lot over the past year or so, and you're actually going to have to pony up a little money now, whereas you didn't used to. But Seismic has always handled multiple accounts really, really well. You're going to have to do a little, account switching, but they make it pretty simple.
At Scope, I just realized that whatever they call it now, Alpha Scope, mm-hmm. Social Scope, that is synced through a cloud login, pretty much like TweetDeck used to be. It's something you might want to look at. It might do some of what you need. I don't know.
Okay. Flipboard as well. Not perfect, but it does do all three. It does Google+, it does Twitter, and it does Facebook.
Cool. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? We could.
I haven't tweeted since January. So I don't know.
Well, your account got hacked for like 3 months. You didn't realize, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, so.
That was actually kind of funny.
Cool. Corey doesn't love the Twitters.
I just can't get into it.
All right, let's go to the next one. I'm going to butcher the name because I couldn't quite hear it or understand it. It sounded like Champagne something or other, but here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Champagne from Aaron. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. I had a quick question regarding Google accounts. I've done some searching online, and I've never really been able to find a definitive answer. My Google account that I have linked with my Android phone is kind of a childish type email address. It's not really the one that I'd like to use anymore, but it was the one that I had when I first bought my Droid C a couple of years back. I wasn't for sure if there was a way, or if you even could do this, if you could transfer your Play Store purchases to another Google account, along with contacts and things of that nature. Kind of interested to see what you guys have to say. Maybe it can't be done. That's why I can't find anything, but I'd love to hear what you have to say. I love the show and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Can it be done?
Nope.
At all? Nope.
Mm. I have yet to find a way. My Gmail address, when I first got into Android with more than one device, I put a separate Gmail address on each one. Mm. And the one I ended up keeping has the word HTC Hero in it. And I'm stuck with it because that's what I bought all my apps with. I have yet to find a way to fix it.
There's no way to fix it, but I mean, the workaround would be to just keep one account for your old app purchases and start a new one from your stuff.
Well, Fine then.
So
you might call them. They might be nice about it. Transfer it over.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
It's worth a try, I guess. I'll try.
Worst thing you'll say is no.
Nothing else going on. I'll call. Right.
Huh? All right. Let's do.
Can you change my Gmail for me?
Let's go to Danny, I believe it is.
Hi, my name is Danny Anafuoka. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. Just started listening to it, and it's just, you know, it's a great podcast. I love Android. My first Android phone was the LG Optimus S, and I was just amazed for a free phone how much feature it packed into it. Looking forward to my upgrade in October. Not quite sure what I'm going to get. Anyways, I'm just calling to give some impressions on the Nexus 7. I had held out for buying a tablet for a long time. The iPad, I just thought was silly overpriced. I bought my wife a Nook tablet, which was perfect for her for reading, and I found it to be a quite impressive little tablet, but I found the App Store to be woefully, woefully lacking. And when I was watching Google I.O. and I saw the Nexus 7, I said, that's the one. So I just want to know what you guys think the success of this tablet will be long term. I love the form factor. I love the quality. I love the features. It's pretty much amazing. I haven't stopped playing with it since I got it on the 13th. I think Friday the 13th is when I got it. But yeah, I haven't stopped playing with it since I got it. I'm really, really impressed with this device. Also, I love the concept of the Nexus Q. I do think it's a little on the pricey side. And, you know, I don't mind paying for quality. Everything I've heard is just feel quality. But I just, you know, I don't know what Google's expecting it to do sales-wise at that price point. I mean, I have a Roku box for streaming, and I mean, that was $50. Sure, now, granted, it's not nearly as popular as it is, but that's quite the price divide. So, you know, maybe they're just thinking that's more for the high-end user. Anyways, thank you guys very much. I love that I have an Android podcast to listen to now, and I look forward to hearing you guys' opinions on these things. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for the kind words. Flattery will get you everywhere.
Yep.
And his name is cool.
So, yeah.
I love my Nexus 7. You know, it's the perfect device for what I wanted a device to do is just entertain me. Like books, video, music. I honestly don't care about anything beyond that. You know, I got my phone for that. I've got other things that I can hack and play around with. It's perfect for watching movies on, reading, and just doing basic stuff on. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to sell pretty well.
I'm just a little disappointed in the quality control, I think. I think Asus kind of let something slide there a little bit.
Yeah, we had a lot of people getting issues with the screen being tilted on one side, mm-hmm. I think, is the main one people are getting. I still think at the current price point, this thing is almost, you know, it's basically an impulse buy, right?
Yeah.
You know, long-term success, if they can keep it at the same price, maybe decrease it for the holidays, that's going to be great for them.
Yep.
Long-term success is still going to depend a lot on what Apple does with this 7.5-inch iPad. Because if they have a tablet that's maybe 250 or 300, that's going to be very tempting for people who are thinking about getting a Nexus 7 to maybe say save an extra $50-$100, get the iPad instead. You've got a better app ecosystem, you know, probably better build quality, I would imagine. There's certainly Apple is stronger in the tablet space than Google is. So, long-term success is going to depend on what Apple does, I think.
Well, you know, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something with the screen quality too. I don't know. Maybe it's just I haven't played around with it too much, but when I open up like Google Talk, you can see the pixels are just so obvious on the Nexus 7. And they're going to have to step up that a little bit if they want to compete with the iPad and some of the other, you know, tablets that are out there.
The weird thing I found is it's kind of like the Galaxy Nexus in that if it's a low brightness level, it looks really washed out. But as you increase the brightness, the colors become more vivid. It's not just a brighter image, but the colors actually become more vibrant as well. So I think that's just kind of one of the necessities of having a tablet at that price point. You don't necessarily get the best screen. But you turn the brightness up, it's still pretty good.
All the way.
Cool.
Maybe, you know, 2 out of 3. Yeah, that's where it starts to look pretty good.
All right, two more. Let's do Mel from the Midwest.
Joe from the Midwest calling. Hot, man, it's hot here. I tell you what, I got a question about an Evo update. I have an original Sprint Evo, which I still love. It still works really well. And by the way, you know, I figured I'm going to wait until LTE comes to my town before I move to the Evo 4G LTE, because sometimes I use my hotspot and I still have WiMAX. But the question is, I just got an over-the-air update for my Evo from Sprint, and it was something about a Sprint connector program that would automatically switch my Wi-Fi on and off to save battery, and I presume to save bandwidth. I thought I'd see if you guys do anything about that. Sounds like a cool feature, but I go to various places, and in my home I have Wi-Fi I don't have to sign into. But I go to other places where the strongest signal is the public Wi-Fi, but you've got to go to their web page to accept the agreement, or it's not active. If you don't do that, your phone gets confused, and you really sometimes can't do anything on the web. So is that Sprint program capable of recognizing that, signing me in, or am I better off just ignoring it? Well, that's great stuff going on. Love to hear what you say. Have a marvelous day.
I'd stay away from it. I just leave Wi-Fi on all the time now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not losing much battery life by having Wi-Fi just sitting there in the background doing nothing.
Yeah.
Even on an old device like the Evo.
Any application that automatically connects you to public Wi-Fi, run. And if you need an example of why, sit in a Starbucks and run that Firefox extension what is it called? Foxfy or something? It sniffs Facebook stuff. And most people have patched, but if you sit in Starbucks on public Wi-Fi, you can have a blast looking at the stuff people are selling. You don't want to stay away from public Wi-Fi automatically. Make sure you know when you're connected.
That's just a security thing. I wonder if they fixed the Starbucks thing on the HTC One X. Because that's been broken forever on the AT&T one. I wonder if that got fixed in the update today.
I don't know.
I'll have to find out. I'll have to start, man. I tell you, I picked that thing up. I always forget how awesome the screen is. I'm going to start using it again. Because I got to send this this GS3 back.
That screen is awesome. I want it.
It really is. All right, last voicemail, then we out of here. DWR.
Hello, this is DWR_31 from the forums, and this is for the Android Central podcast. I want to say thank you, Android Central, for basically doing what you do. You make my life that much better. Special thanks goes out to Corey Streeter, because you do an amazing job in the forums, which I am officially renaming the street now. So after the podcast, you will be able to catch me in the street. I'm going to have a nice little old post up in the Evo 3D street, as in battery life and customizations and getting this close to AOSP as possible. All right. First question I got, Jerry. I'm using the Chrome browser now that I have ICS on my Evo 3D. I find that the only keyboard that's working without making the screen flicker is an ICS port out of the market. Why is that happening, and why are the stock keyboards and swipe and so forth that come with it glitching the screen? Second question, OTG cable. Yeah, for a lot of people, they don't know what those are. This is ice cream sandwich. Is that functionality available on the Evo 3D with ice cream sandwich now? Hit me up, let me know. Thanks. One more thanks goes out to Renee Ritchie. I'm not a big Apple fan, but I've read some of your posts on iMore and so forth, and I like the way you think. And you write pretty good, too. So I'm going to give a shout out to you. Keep doing what you're doing. I'll be over there reading a little bit more and having to go at it. All right. I need to hop off right now because I got to go shop Android for some new gear. Get back with you. Love you. I'm out.
Can you send me a copy of that voicemail, please?
Yes. Call us every week, please.
I'm just going to play it whenever I feel a little insecure.
That's awesome. OTG Cables, Evo 3D with ice cream sandwich. Okay. Anybody know offhand?
I did a little poking around this afternoon because you gave me some heads up that that question was coming. The hardware is capable. The custom kernels that were built, you need to have support in the ROM you're running and the kernel and the correct hardware. Ice cream sandwich, as it comes from Google, has support. That's your ROM. The hardware is correct. The question is the kernel. I don't know anybody that's got a stock Evo 3D right now to test. If you're out there and you're listening, jerry@androidcentral.com, shoot me an email. I know it worked on custom ROMs and leaks of ice cream sandwich, but they all had a custom kernel. So it all depends on if HTC wants you to have it or not.
Gotcha.
The keyboard. Corey, didn't you have problems with Chrome and keyboards on the Galaxy Nexus at one point where they would act all funny whenever you tried to type?
It wasn't just, it was everywhere. It was really bad in the forums when I was like trying to type something. I would finally just throw the phone down and go get my laptop because it would just kind of freeze, or if you try to move the cursor, it would go nuts. Yeah, not a good experience. So if you wrote a really long email like I do sometimes, it drives everybody crazy. But if you start writing a really long email, it'll kind of hang up after a while.
So I went back to the stock keyboard on my One X and played with Chrome, and I didn't see any issues with it. But then again, that's the keyboard built with the One X ROM, not the Evo 3D ROM, which is a different version of Sense. So it's something that I hope, whatever fault it is, it could very well be Chrome's fault that it's just doing something to make the GPU glitch out when you're touching the digitizer. Hopefully that's something they can get fixed. I don't know. I hope so.
Cool. All right, we're running late, so that's going to do it. Thank you all for coming back and putting up with a week off. I needed it. I'm refreshed. I feel good. I'm ready to go. We're going to have lots more good stuff next week. That was really weird. I'm not going to do that again. Want to get in touch with us like everybody did, podcast@androidcentral.com. Get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral, @PhilNickinson, @TCPJ, _Mickey, @GBHIL, that's Jerry. Alex is @AlexDobie. Corey doesn't use Twitter anymore, but if you want to hack his account, he's open to that. We are brought to you, as we are every week, by shopandroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158. That's 888-468-6158. Or just go to the website, shopandroid.com. Again, if you haven't noticed, they got all new international shipping options, so we can get stuff overseas much easier and a little bit cheaper than we used to, depending on what it is you're sending, what it is you're buying, and how quickly you need it there. That goes for shirts and hats and pins as well, so we got all the cool Lloyd gear up there as well. Whole bunch of Galaxy S3 stuff, and I've been floored with as much as they're getting in, so definitely go check that out. And if you want to leave us a voicemail like everybody did, that same number is 888-468-6158, extension 222, or you can email it into us again, podcast@androidcentral.com. That's it. We're done. Good night. Good luck.
Lloyd is looking pretty hot on that t-shirt.
Yeah, he is. Go buy.
Gotta get one?
Yeah. Because I'd like to retire soon, I think. No, I'm not going anywhere. All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Later on, folks.
Good night.
Mickey.
Really. You know what I did? I opened Facebook and it literally froze everything on my computer. I don't know how Skype is working. All I can do is move the mouse around the computer. I can't click on anything.
It takes a lot of horsepower to spy on you.
I couldn't tell that Mickey was frozen. It's how little change it was.
Yeah, right?
Ouch.